stories, the manuscripts, everything were kept in here. Many of the documents are still kept here. We went in last time, yeah? You remember there was still many, many documents are still inside here. So when they would come back and bring all the goods and things like that from America, everything was logged. Everything, and even the stories of what they found over there, everything is still in here. Much of it is still in here. And then at one point it became the headquarters of the Inquisition. Who knows what the Inquisition was?
Spanish Inquisition.
Yeah, what was it? Nobody knows?
I mean, they tried to chase Muslims and prevent them from establishing.
Yeah, so mainly, officially, it's like anybody who's a lapsed Christian. Okay, somebody who's losing their Christian religion. So officially, it's supposed to be that. And but they used it to find secret Muslim. So how do you do that? So if, for example, if officially it's only Christians that the Inquisition can question, that you're not practicing your religion anymore, etc., etc., how do you make that compulsory for other people as well then? What would you do? You force them to convert to Christianity. So now whether they like it or not, they're Christian now. So what are they not going to be doing? They're not going to be practicing this religion, the new religion. So now the Inquisition has authority to question them and punish them and, like, you know, go after them. Okay?
And if we keep walking, everyone, bismillah. So I just want to quickly introduce where we are. We are in Seville, the medieval Islamic capital of Spain, Al-Mawhid and Al-Murabitun, Al-Murabitun and Al-Muwahidun capital. And now it's very changed, doesn't look like an Islamic city, but once upon a time it was a flourishing Islamic capital. There would be book markets here, there would be stalls of halal meat, there would be commodities sold in this neighborhood, there would be scholars walking around with turbans and thobes and books in their hands. So you can imagine a medieval Islamic society, and that was here. Okay, unfortunately, none of that remains today apart from few monuments that we will look at. So the building behind me there, you can see, is now the cathedral, the Grand Cathedral of Seville. This is where once upon a time the Grand Masjid stood. And looking at the structure and its size, we can tell that it was a huge masjid. It was a gigantic, magnificent, super masjid, like epic mosque, as they say, right? And now, unfortunately, nothing remains of it apart from one tower that remains from Al-Mawhid period that we will look at, inshallah, in due course. But this cathedral is actually from the 13th century. That's when they started to build the cathedral. This city fell to the Christians, the Catholics coming from the north in 1248. And since then, there was a systematic... Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We are here in Seville, in Spain, Al-Andalus, once upon a time, the capital of Islam in South Central Spain. And today we will be visiting Al-Qasr or Al-Khazar. It is a Christian palace built by a Christian prince in the 14th century. And the palace was built by the Muslims who remained behind, and we're going to be talking more about it. Okay, everyone. So, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to Seville, Al-Khazar or Al-Qasr. Remember, we talked about two dates. What were those two dates? 7-11, 1492. What happened in between two dates, these two dates? Any idea? The Muslims came to Spain in 711, and the last stronghold of Islam in Spain was Granada, that fell to the Catholic monarchs in 1492. So two states, Castile and Aragon, had united through marriage. Okay, Aragon was ruled by Ferdinand or Fernando, and Castile was ruled by a queen called Isabella. We have company. Okay? They agree with me, by the way. So both of these monarchs, they united the countries within Spain and the armies, and Isabella was bent upon removing Islam from the Iberian Peninsula. Her life mission, she was a devout Catholic, she was a follower of the Pope at the time. Almost all the popes before her had desired to remove Islam from the Iberian Peninsula as a military power. But Islam had produced a great civilization here. Europeans benefited immensely from the Muslims, what the Muslims had produced here. So Isabella, her life mission was to remove Islam completely from the Iberian Peninsula. She had basically made a vow that before she dies, she will accomplish this, right? So in 1480, they started to take land from the Muslims in southern Spain, Granada. This was already taken, Seville was already gone. So what you see here, if you follow me, inshallah, the reason we stopped at this monument is for you to see. What do you see on top of the... You see how important this date is in Spanish history. And by the way, this date is also very important in Muslim history. It is a very important date. It is so important that this date, from this date onwards, the global history would change. The history of humanity would completely switch. As we know, it was in 1492, this very date, when Christopher Columbus came to Queen Isabella and he wanted her to fund, to sanction, or to patronize his mission to the Indies, India. Christopher Columbus was looking for a route to India to bring more gold home. So Isabella, she decided to back him. And long story short, you will have to go and study Christopher Columbus's history and what he did. He basically makes his way towards the west, Atlantic Ocean, and he bumps into current day Caribbean islands, right? At that time, he thought he was in India. That's why the Native Americans were called Red Indians, okay? But it wasn't India. It wasn't India. It was the Americas. It happened on this very date, 1490, or this year, in this year. It happened in this year. And Seville is the place where Christopher Columbus left from, as Brother Tariq explained yesterday, from the river Guadalquivir. He left towards the Atlantic Ocean, and from there he went on to the Americas. So 1492 changed the history of the world. The Americas were discovered, okay? And then from that discovery, the history of the Americas changed. We have North America, we have Canada. Canada is basically, actually Canada, the US, and Latin America, much of Latin America was born from this very takeover of Catholics from Muslims, right? And then were opened the floodgates of persecution, destruction, genocide, and all sorts of things. And this is not, by the way, these are not controversial statements. This is well attested, well confirmed by historians and scholars that a floodgate of colonialism, genocides, illegal settlements, and massacres, and deliberate mass murder of natives, in particular the Americas, continued. In fact, where Christopher Columbus landed, he landed in 1492, 1493, let's say, right? By 1585, less than 100 years later, those islands, that region was completely cleansed of the native people. They had died in the millions, partly because of lack of immunity against the diseases that came with the Europeans, partly because of that. But when the Europeans, in particular the Spanish, had realized that they are not immune, they would actually throw their dead corpses inside their settlements so that they die in big numbers. So all of this is all documented. This is not made up. So 1492 is very important. So the fall of Islam impacted the history of the world directly, right? And there's a lot more we can talk about. We don't have the time for details, but we're just going to completely... shall we move on? Or you?
Very quickly, I just want to mention, we are a group A couple of things to keep in mind is, as this is not history, this is just like general
logistic details.
Logistic details. That as we move, please move together as one body, as we are supposed to be, one ummah. Okay. So try to move together as one body. Also, when we gather, we stop for talks and things. Please keep in mind other people. Don't block the pathways, etc. Consider other people. We don't want to, like, you know, be a nuisance or anything like that. Secondly, if somebody does get left behind, if you lose the group, you get left behind, do not panic, don't worry, don't do anything. Just stop and stand still in the place where you are. Don't move from there. And then next week, when I come with my next group, we will pick you up.
We'll pick you up.
And we'll take you. So don't worry, okay?
And the locals are very generous. They will give you something to eat.
They'll drop food off every now and then until next week.
Only so very quickly before we move on, you see the name Fernando on the ship or on the vessel.
Yeah.
This is Ferdinand, the husband of Isabella, right? Isabella is on the other side. Okay, so Fernando on this side, Isabella on the other side, and then there is a lion on top representing their power. The date 1492 is very important. Remember that. Let's go, inshallah. Pause. Which angle do you have? Wide angle?
I'm on 0.5.
No, just do 0.5 or something. I don't know. Wide angle.
There's 0.5.
Yeah, yeah, wide angle. Okay, so here we are. We're just walking towards Al-Qasr of Seville. Seville was a capital of Islam, and right now we have company as well. Again, there is these are known as Spanish gypsies, and they sing their local songs, folk music. So if you look at the street, it's pretty much the same, you know, since it was built. These walls are from Al-Qasr. And this was the capital of Islam and Muslims for a very long time. The size of the streets is exactly the same. You can see not much has changed. There's a street down there. These would be Muslim homes once upon a time, about 800 years ago. But the design hasn't changed. The only change was that the Christians came in and they took all these homes and streets and even the monuments. Another long street. If you look down there, you see it's a long street. Yeah. Right. So if you look up here, you can see that these are the walls of Al-Qasr. Al-Qasr is literally the palace, and we will see inside, inshallah, in a minute. It is absolutely magnificent, mind-blowing. So everyone, this is Seville, south central Spain, once dominated by Islam and Muslims. And this was the Muslim capital of Andalusia during the Al-Murabitun and Al-Mawahidun period, or also called Al-Muravids and Al-Mohads. These were two dynasties that came from current-day Morocco to prolong the rule of Islam in this region, because Muslims had started to lose territory in the 11th century in Spain. The Catholics were coming from the north and they were taking all this territory from the Muslims. And the only reason this territory lasted for another 150 years in Muslim hands was because of this intervention from North Africa, from Morocco in particular. The Almoravids and Almohads, they came in and they sustained. So this is like a courtyard. We can see what you see behind me there is the same tower. Okay, this tower was built during the Almohad period. It is about 800 years old, right? It still stands. This is one of the only standing Islamic monuments in Seville today. Unfortunately, the rest of it has been destroyed. There was a big, massive masjid right next to it. That masjid is gone now. There's a cathedral in its place. We're going to go to Al-Qasr now. Al-Qasr, Al-Qazar, to visit, inshallah. Tariq, but you want to say something? Or?
Yeah. Yes, very quickly. So the area that we've just walked through is known as the Khudariya. What is the Khudariya? It's called the Jewish quarter. Okay, this is the old Jewish quarter. So what you had in every single major city of Al-Andalus was Jewish quarters. The Jewish community was very, very prominent. We will talk a lot more about them once we get to Cordoba, but just to give you an idea that under Islam, the Jewish community prospered. And just like this was a golden age for us as Muslims, the golden age of Judaism, and I mean the golden age of Judaism, was Al-Andalus. Does anybody know who the Jews, what the name of the Jews is from Spain? No? Sephardic. Thank you very much. Very good. Sephardic Jews. So the way we call Spain Al-Andalus, they call Spain Sepharda. This was Sepharda. And Sephardic Jews are from here. And anybody who knows their history, they understand that this was their golden age. Their philosophers, their politicians, their thinkers, their
poets.
Books that they wrote at that time. Actually, under Islam here was the revival of Judaism, and Hebrew, the language itself, was revived here. Otherwise, it was nearly completely lost. A few years ago, this Jewish intellectual, he wrote an article in which he started the article by saying that if the Muslims had not arrived in Al-Andalus in Spain when they did, in 711, the Jews would have been wiped out in Europe.
Absolutely.
Because the persecution and the annihilation of Jews was just going from strength to strength. They were hunting them down, they were wiping them out, they were completely getting rid of them. If the Muslims hadn't arrived, they would have been wiped out. But Muslims arrived and they prospered and went from strength to strength. And then when the Christians took over again, the first people they started on was the Jews. They persecuted them, they threw them out. And where did they go to?
Morocco,
to Istanbul, to Tunisia, to Algeria, to North Africa, all the Muslim lands took them in. In fact, Muhammad al-Fatih, the conqueror of Constantinople, the one who conquered Istanbul, sent ships to pick up the Jews from here and took them to Istanbul. And they prospered and became a very, very successful community there. So under Islam, they owe so much to Islam that, like, you know, the only reason they're still around really basically is because of the Muslims.
And this much is historically documented. What Brother Tariq is telling you are basically statements that you can do PhDs on, literally. I mean, there is so much detail, archives, documents, the golden age of the Jewish people, their scientists, their theologians, their rabbis, some of the best rabbis. The Jewish people from Islamic Spain were the most sophisticated Jews in the world. This is why when they left from here, escaping with their lives, they got high positions in the Muslim society, wherever they went, because they were highly qualified. So the Muslims actually opened the doors for them, and they had the golden age from 900 to 1200. Scholars usually put these two dates. In between these 300 years, the Jewish people had the golden age in Al-Andalus, and then after the land was taken. So when the Catholics came in, why were they going after the Jewish people? Because the Jewish people to them were God killers. God killers. Who is God? Jesus Christ. And he was, what happened to him according to the Christian narrative? What do you see in the churches, in Catholic churches? What do you see? There is a man on the cross, right? And it's a very bloody picture, right? And this is the image all the Catholics had in their minds, that our God was crucified by who? By the Jewish people. So everywhere they went, they were persecuting the Jewish people in particular. Okay, but Islam had no such blame on them, because the Quran says, وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ وَمَا صَلَبُوهُ وَلَكِنْ شُبِّعَ لَهُمْ. Jesus was not, Isa al-Islam was not killed, he was not crucified. So the blame is lifted from anyone, right? So this is why, and even what Brother Tariq mentioned, that if they had not come here, the Muslims, they would have been extinct. The Jewish people would have been extinct from European territories. And this is very, very well documented fact. In fact, in 633 CE, there was a council, a church council in the city of Toledo, not far from here, where the Catholic Church at the time, they decreed that all the children of the Jewish people are to be snatched away from their parents and they are to be raised as Catholics. Forced conversion, okay, and they are to be raised as Catholics. And that was the beginning of the end of the Jewish people. But only Islam's intervention in 711 CE protected and saved the rest of the Jews. And then they became a global power, okay, later on. So that's it. There are books written on these topics, so we can't just go into the details, inshallah. Let's go.
The Jewish quarter during Muslim time. It's still today known as the Jewish quarter, but at that time, that was the Jewish quarter. And you find on each city, Cordoba, Granada,
Okay, here we are in front of Al Qasr. If you look behind you, I'm talking to the cameraman. Oh. Yeah, if you look behind, yeah, the wall, you can see there. It says Riyal Asal, Riyal Asal, Khazars. Okay, no, actually Riyal Al Khazar, Riyal Al Khazaris. Basically, it means the royal palace. Okay, Royal Al Qasr. So that's the Christian shield there. And these walls are from the Muslim period. These blocks are from the Muslim period. Of course, there were renovations and changes made. And this is the main square. That would be the Grand Masjid behind me, the Grand Mosque of Seville. That structure now is a cathedral. The masjid was raised to the ground over time. And the tower you see is from the Muslim period. That's an Al-Mohud tower, beautifully constructed. You can see there's a huge difference between the tower in architecture, the design, and the cathedral next to it. So the tower remains, and now we're going to make our way towards, inshallah, the queue so that we can enter the palace. I am here in the courtyard, the hunting or hunter's courtyard in Al-Khazar. What you see there is the gate, the main gate, or the main entrance of the palace itself. This palace was built by a Christian king called Peter I in the mid 14th century, 1350s and 60s. 1350s and 60s, he ruled, and he was known as Peter the Just or Peter the Cruel, depending on who's talking about him. Without going into too much history about him, what you see there, blue tiles on top, you know, they seem to be like a Christian symbol or something like that, or Christian messages, right? But it is Arabic. It says La Ghalib Illallah. So even that Christian king, Peter the First, was so inspired by Islamic calligraphy, Islamic messages, that he put the Islamic formula. But if you look at the word Allah, there's a cross on top of the word Allah. Okay, so he wanted to bring three Abrahamic faiths together in this building. Okay, so it's richly decorated. So we're going to get close to that. Very quickly, if you follow me, I want to show you an audience hall that was built at that time. So these are clearly from the Muslim period, these arches. Okay. So if you look here, look inside. This is absolutely mind-blowing. This is magnificent. So this is again from the 14th century, and there is some part that is from the Islamic period, which is cordoned off. This part is from the Islamic period. We cannot go there because it's protected. And the pillars and the capitals of the pillars, they come from Roman sites. The Muslims have taken these and recycled them into this building. So this is an audience hall that is just outside the palace, and it's richly decorated. There's Arabic calligraphy. Even though the king was Christian, but there were Muslims in this territory at the time. They were called Al-Mudajjirun or Mudajjirs. Mudajjirs is the word that is used for those Muslims who remained behind under Christian rule when the Christians, the Catholics, had taken this territory. Watch your step, please. Watch your step. So we're gonna go now, we're gonna go inside the palace. We're gonna show you some of the palace inside. It is absolutely mind-blowing. It is so amazing, it is so magnificent, it's unbelievable. And this is a symbol of Islam standing to this day, because it was built by Muslims. Although the person behind was a Christian king, his name is there in Latin, and Wala Ghalib Illallah is written in the Arabic language. So this is the original entrance from the 14th century, 1350s. Very well preserved. And you can see in Latin the name of Peter the first, okay, and the year all of this was built. Okay, let's go inside, inshallah. So when we enter, it is absolutely amazingly richly decorated. You can see the Arabic calligraphy. The whole palace is filled, packed with Arabic calligraphy and Arabic character. Even this tiling, the style of tiling is very Arabic, inspired from the Muslim architecture from Granada and other places. There was already a Muslim palace in this place, built by the Muslim kings during from the previous centuries. So when Al-Murabitun came here, they obviously added to the palace, and then so did the Al-Muwahidun or Al-Mawhids. And then that palace had fallen into ruins, and then Peter the First basically resurrected a new palace in the 14th century at the same spot. And this is what we have right now. So if you're following, inshallah. Now brace yourselves, this is a very special place, okay? This is the courtyard of the palace. It's absolutely magnificently richly decorated. If you follow me very quickly. If you look at the woodwork and the arches, they are very original. These remains are from the Islamic period. They were discovered later on. So this was a garden, okay? So arches represent palm trees. Even the doors are richly decorated. There's a lot of Arabic calligraphy on the doors, you can see.
Right?
They are all hand carved. Okay. And something very special happened in this courtyard. In 2005, a movie was released called Kingdom of Heaven. It was basically a movie on the Crusades, and part of the movie was filmed here in this courtyard. There were scenes filmed in this courtyard. As you can see, if you go and watch the movie again, and it is about the Crusades.
Always wash your...
Right. So if you look at the courtyard here, this is where the movie, some of the scenes from Kingdom of Heaven were filmed. The movie is about Sultan Salahuddin Ayyubi and the Crusaders, how they faced each other in those days, and this is the courtyard, because it gives a very medieval look. And if you look inside this hall, it's absolutely magnificent.
Ani?
Excuse me. This is absolutely mind-blowing. I'm just showing you glimpses, brothers and sisters, so that you realize why we are here. We are here to show you that this exists, and this is Islamic heritage, Islamic past, even though it is a Christian palace, but it was built by the Muslims, people called Mudajirs, Al-Mudajirun. Many of them were actually sent from Granada kingdom, the Nasrid kingdom of Granada. They came here and they helped the Christian king Peter the First build this. And this art still survives in very good condition. You must come here to be inspired. And we have future trips taking place every few months. You must go and check out halalgetaways.com, halalgetaways.com, where you will find these tours and dates. You can actually join any of these tours in the future at your convenience. But if you're not coming here, and if you're not showing your children this, then what reason do they have to be inspired by the heritage of Islam or the Islamic legacy in Al-Andalus in Spain? So, inshallah, we'll share a lot more about our heritage in Spain. For now, this is something I wanted to share with you very quickly from Alcazar. Now, if you look on top, there are depictions, there are images or pictures of kings who ruled Spain from the very beginning to until very recently, or until when this panorama was put up there. Okay. And the names of the kings are there. For example, King Roderick is up there, okay, the one who was defeated by Tariq bin Ziyad, okay. And there are other kings who came afterwards, ruling kingdoms of Leon, Castile, and Aragon, and all other minor kingdoms ruled by Christians. Yeah, but amazingly, none of the Muslim kings are mentioned here for some reason, okay. So one of the problems we have with the history of Islamic Spain is that for some reason the history of Islamic Spain is not even considered the history of Europe. When European historians talk about the history of Spain, for some reason they completely cut out the Islamic period. It's for some reason not part of the history of Spain. It's like an alien civilization. But how alien is it? Look at it. How alien is it? Right? And there are clearly Islamic messages on the door. Al-Qudratulillah. Al-Qudratulillah. Okay? And these are hand-carved doors from the 14th century. Still stand in very good condition to this day. So this is the civilization of Islam looking at you in your face. You come here, you cannot fail to be inspired. This is absolutely mind-blowing. This is crazy. Okay, this beauty, this kind of stuff cannot be done today. I mean, we don't have artists or architects who can reproduce this in hand. Inshallah, keep following me. So this is a mixture of the Islamic civilization with Christian symbolism, but Islamic imagery is very, very visible and pronounced. So we'll come back with more, inshallah.